The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus again spoke in reply to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets, and they gathered all they found, bad and good alike. And the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there who not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We're all pretty busy most of the time. Too often we have things to do and people to see. Sometimes this busyness is a good thing, right? It keeps us out of trouble and it helps us to be productive. However, chronic busyness is a problem, and it's one that afflicts us more and more these days. Why? Well, it fills our lives and it creates a constant state of urgency. This has to get done. And it has to get done now. And it has to get done by me. Like I said, being busy is all right from time to time. We run up against deadlines and we have obligations that require our attention. But Jesus presents us with a challenge today that should shake us out of our state of constant urgency and force us to see what is really important. Someone once said that not everything that is urgent is important. The challenge that Jesus gives us today is the wisdom to know the difference. The first guests who were invited to the important feast that Jesus talks about were no doubt busy people. They had lives, they had duties and responsibilities. The invitation to the feast probably came in the midst of their busy lives. But this was no ordinary invitation. It was an invitation from the king. When the king invites, you go. However, pressed with the wild urgency of their own lives, the invitations went unanswered. They were even resented. "Why ask me to do one more thing? Huh? Like when your kid comes home and says, 'Cupcakes are due tomorrow.'" And they had all week to tell you this, but, right? The wild urgency stands in stark contrast with the peace and the rest that most people so desperately want. Today, as our retirement funds are threatened, the possibility for a peaceful rest seems less likely to many of us. And oddly, this scary possibility only spurs us on to become more busy. However, if the hope for personal peace and security seems long off, then the possibility for true peace, for peace on earth, is only a distant dream. St. John the 23rd, whose feast we celebrated this past week, when he was convening Vatican II, he wrote an encyclical before that. It was called Pacem in Terris, which means peace on earth. And in it, he says this: every believer in this world of ours must be a spark of light, a center of love, a life-giving leaven amidst his fellow men. And he will be this all the more perfectly the more closely he lives in communion with God in the intimacy of his own soul. The world will never be the house of peace until peace has found a home in the heart of each and every man. Till every man preserves in himself the order ordained by God to be preserved. Those words are certainly prophetic words for us in these days when we look to the Holy Land itself and see war and turmoil. Peace cannot be imposed. It must be the overflowing of an order that comes from the heart. And this interior order is not something that we ourselves can invent. Certainly, it's not something that our busyness will create. Rather, it's the result of the invitation. That same invitation that Jesus talks about today. His image of the King's Feast is reminiscent of Isaiah's depiction of the heavenly banquet to which we are all invited. This is not an invitation that we can turn down simply because we're busy. It's not something we can ignore. This is a time to put aside those urgent things for what is really important. What God is inviting us to, as St. John the 23rd pointed out, is communion. Communion with God and communion with others. The feast is a place where our agendas cease to be important and God's will becomes the driving force. We put on the grace that God offers, represented by the wedding garment, and we share fully in the peaceful security of knowing that we belong at that feast because God has invited us there. This is the significance of the guest who did not put on the wedding garment, which, by the way, would have been given to him by the host. This was part of their tradition. So the wedding garment wasn't something that you had to run out and buy. They gave it to you. The fact that he wasn't wearing it was an insult to the host. He denies that gift and he decides, I'm going to attend the feast on my own terms. This is not what God is looking for either. God provides everything. And he wants us to accept all that he has to give. Not only that, God has invited a vast amount of people here. As Jesus notes, many are called. Whether we are chosen or not depends on our acceptance of that invitation on God's terms and not ours. When we are able to come to the feast, a feast that is prefigured here at our altar, we can set aside those urgent things of our busy lives, even if just for a little while, and embrace what is truly important, communion with God and communion with one another.